It's Monday, September 22nd, 2008, which means you have less than 25 days left to register for
NormalCon 2008. It's Normal's 37th annual national conference, Friday, October 17th through Sunday, October 19th, at the Doubletree Hotel and Executive Meeting Center, Berkeley Marina, in Berkeley, California. Register now for the conference. Early registrations get special discount pricing. Don't delay. We have negotiated a special rate for rooms that are sure to sell out fast. The theme of the convention is It's Not Your Parents' Prohibition. Over the first 2 days, you'll learn more than you thought you could know about marijuana law reform in our plenary and breakout sessions, which include
how the media lie about cannabis,
growing up and raising children in the age of legal medical pot,
politics 2008,
pot culture,
the politics of marijuana and
war on pot is a war on young
people. What if we arrested 20 million Americans and nobody noticed?
Featuring the top experts in marijuana law reform from Normal and other cannabis-centered organizations. On Sunday, Oaksterdam University presents a look at California's medical marijuana dispensary businesses.
But it's not all work and no play. NormalCon 2008 also presents social gatherings and entertainment in the evenings so activists and attendees can network. It's 3 days of the best marijuana conference in the world with the largest, most popular marijuana organization in the world. Join us October 17th through 19th for the Normal National Conference in Berkeley, California. Sign up online today at norml.org.
It's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world. Featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org, and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to another fine week here at the Normal Daily Audio Stash, where we've just been informed by Keith Straup, the founder of Normal, who's just returned from the Boston Freedom Rally, that the Normal Daily Audio Stash and yours truly have been honored as the podcast of the year, according to MassCan Normal and the Boston Freedom Rally. Thanks to everyone who voted for the Stash, and it's just amazing that we got a chance to win this award. It's a huge honor, especially after just 7 months of producing my first podcast ever. I couldn't have done it without the incredible support of Chris Goldstein, who created this podcast and turned it into such a success, and then handed it over to the luckiest guy in broadcasting. Well, that's me. I also have to thank Alan St. Pierre and Keith Straup for believing in this project and trusting me to bring you the growing truth about cannabis as the voice of Normal. I will continue to speak up for all the cannabis consumers whose voices are never heard. Thanks as well to Madeline Martinez, Executive Director of Oregon Normal and a member of the Normal Board, who plucked me off the street at the 2005 Million Marijuana March and had me on the Oregon Normal TV show the very next weekend. Without her, I'd be just another IT drone in a cubicle farm. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Instead of reaching millions of people who share my interest in fighting for freedom and opposing tyranny. Certainly the biggest thanks of all go to my wife, who insisted that I enter a silly national talk radio contest that I ended up winning, which led to Chris's trust in my broadcasting ability. It's eerie how seemingly random events all came together to give me the career of my dreams. And of course, thanks to all the fans of the Stash, all you Stashers, who go out of your way to listen to me, read news stories, interview activists, play music, and rant against the drug war for 45 or more minutes a day. I do this work in the hopes that someday I can put myself and all of Normal out of a job. Now, coming up on the podcast, we've got some great interviews for you. First, we'll be speaking with Ryan Denham from Sensible Fayetteville, talking a little bit about the Fayetteville, Arkansas lowest priority initiative that they've managed to get on the ballot for this 2008 election. Then, we're going to be speaking with Ken Wolski, who's here to tell us a story from New Jersey about a medical marijuana patient who is facing some terrible legal troubles. The story of Mike Maselli, coming up a little later here on the Daily Audio Stash. All right, everybody, it's going to be another long week of news stories to get through, so strap yourselves in, grab the double barrel bong, and load up for your Normal Daily Audio Stash. Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal Daily Audio Stash, Hemp Headlines. Texting drivers more dangerous than drunks, who are more dangerous than stoners. From London in Reuters Life. Sending text messages from your mobile phone while driving is more dangerous than climbing behind the wheel under the influence of drink or drugs, a study by Britain's Transport Research Laboratory has found. The reaction times of people texting as they drove fell by 35%, while those who had consumed the legal limit of alcohol or taken cannabis fell by 21% and 12% respectively, according to the study. The study, which was commissioned by the motoring group RAC Foundation, also found that the ability to stay in lanes or maintain a safe distance from the vehicle in front was worse than drivers under the influence of cannabis. Drivers who texted were distracted by taking their hand off the wheel to use their phone and by trying to read small text on the phone display and by thinking about how to write their message. Nearly half of all 18 to 24-year-olds admitted to texting as they drove, a separate survey by the RAC Foundation discovered. While the study here focuses on the important news that texting and driving is far worse for your road skills than drinking and driving, I'm going to focus on that part that the study buried in the lead. Driving while texting dropped reaction times by 35%. Driving while drunk dropped reaction times by 21%, yet driving while stoned dropped reaction times only by 12%. I'll again reiterate that you should never, never drive under the influence of any reaction-blunting activity or substance, including cannabis. If you've been smoking, you should wait at least 2 to 4 hours before operating any heavy machinery. However, it seems very strange that our opponents continually argue against cannabis legalization for the fear of the imagined increase in impaired driving that would cause, when the legal drug, alcohol, is almost twice as impairing to drivers as cannabis. Nobody seems to be calling for a return to alcohol prohibition. Nobody seems eager to arrest 775,000 people for possession of text messaging devices in their cars. Yet they'll defend spending billions on prohibition and possession arrests for the least impairing substance of them all, cannabis. Dreads versus Feds, the great marijuana debate at the University of Central Florida Normal. Two men whose views couldn't be more different will face off and test their knowledge in a debate to prove once and for all the logic behind decriminalizing and legalizing such a benign substance. Chris Crane is the Executive Director of Students for a Sensible Drug Policy and former Associate Director of Normal. Mr. Crane graduated magna cum laude from American University in May 2000 with an honors degree in political science, culminating with an honors thesis entitled The War on Drugs, a Case Study in the Escalation of Failed Moral Policy. Chris Crane has been quoted in national newspapers, including the New York Times, the Washington Post, Roll Call, USA Today, and the Chronicle of Higher Education. He has also been a featured guest on television news programs, including Fox News Weekend Live and Today in New York, and has been featured on National Public Radio, Court TV Radio, Wisconsin Public Radio, and the WWRL Morning Show with Armstrong Williams. Kevin A. Sabet, Ph.D., is an MHRA-NDRI postdoctoral fellow and a policy consultant in private practice based in New York, New York. He recently graduated from the University of Oxford as a Marshall Scholar and a War Goodman Prize recipient. He regularly contributes to the media and worldwide governments on various issues of drug policy and served as the senior speechwriter at the Office of National Drug Control Policy under General Barry McCaffrey in 2000. He is also the founder of Students Taking Action, Not Drugs, or STAND. The debate will take place at 7:30 p.m. in Student Union Room 316 at the University of Central Florida in Orlando on Wednesday, September 24, 2008. It is co-hosted by the Campus Activities Board. Recently, Normal at the University of Central Florida was awarded as one of the top counterculture schools in America, making the top 10 for the second time in history. Additionally, Normal at University Central Florida was awarded the 2008 Student Activist Award for its efforts to inform citizens about the detrimental laws regarding marijuana. If you'd like more information about this event or to schedule an interview with James McIntyre, please contact him at 772-633-9494 or send an email to publicrelations@normaluCF.com. The students at UCF have been very active in marijuana reform and are one of the best campus chapters of Normal in the country. I got to meet a few of them at the 2006 and the 2007 Normal conferences, as well as Seattle Hemp Fest. If college students from Florida can find a way to make it to the West Coast at least 3 times in 3 years, you can find a way to make it to NormalCon 2008. Meeting the activists in the movement and making those networking connections is the best way to build our power. That 2006 NormalCon led to me meeting Alan St. Pierre, who then introduced me to Chris Goldstein, who then turned the reins of this podcast over to me in 2008. It's not what you know, it's who you know. If you're a student, contact us at normal.org and we'll help you set up your own college campus chapter. And if you want to host a heads versus feds style debate, I'll be glad to travel to your campus and represent us heads.
Marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death.
Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind.
If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face to face with the monster of marijuana, he would drop dead from fright.
What is law enforcement smoking to oppose Massachusetts Question 2? Opinion in the South Coast Today. All the suits who make a living, monetarily, politically, and otherwise, off the criminal marijuana laws were there the other day, ready to protect the public against those horrible marijuana laws, the ones that, if we don't keep in place, everyone in Massachusetts under 18 will soon be heading for the corner drug dealer. As if any kid who wants to doesn't do that now. But there they stood the other day, Bristol and Barnstable County's finest. All the folks employed by this big, big government business we call the War on Drugs. They were competing with each other for the most alarmist comment of the day. Bristol County District Attorney Sam Sutter said,
"This will lead to more violence. This ridiculous initiative would put our children and young people in dangerous situations with violent marijuana dealers. And I don't want to hear those specious and bogus arguments that marijuana is like alcohol. Alcohol can have health benefits, you know, like wine. And tobacco? Why, that takes a long time to do the damage,"
he informed us. Not to be outdone, Fall River Mayor Bob Coria trotted out the time-tested gateway argument.
"Marijuana is the one they start our children off with."
Ah, the children. It's always the children. So on went the show, speaker after speaker, pointing out that hard drug users are also marijuana users and that they inhabit a violent economy. So what? These hoods are also alcohol users, and maybe a lot of them like pizza, too. The only guy to bring a modicum of reality to the proceedings was Barnstable County Sheriff Jim Cummings. He sounded as if he knew he was trapped in a politically correct soapbox, but dared not get out.
"This morning, in the Barnstable County Correctional Facility, No one there was serving time for 1 ounce or less of marijuana,
he said. So the sheriff was conceding that no one even prosecutes for 1 ounce or less of marijuana now. But he quickly slipped back into the gateway argument, saying that
it's just common sense that decriminalizing marijuana sends the wrong message about other drugs.
All the blue shirts in the world speaking authoritatively won't change the fact that this 50-year drug war has failed relentlessly. The simple fact is, as was proven during equally crime-ridden prohibition, you can't enforce a law the public is determined to ignore. The Barnstable County Sheriff's argument is one of my favorites. We don't really lock anyone up for simple possession of marijuana, so it's vitally important that we keep the laws that allow us to lock anyone up for simple possession of marijuana. The corollary, of course, is that marijuana is such a deadly, dangerous, addictive gateway to hard drugs, violence, and crime, and yet we don't lock anybody up for it. Make up your mind, fellas. If it's so dangerous, why aren't you locking people up? If you're not locking people up, how can it be so dangerous? And thanks to the writer Jack Spillane of South Coast Today, who noted that the danger is that some of these law enforcement types might lose their jobs without the make-work possession arrests of cannabis users.
Now it's time to play Pass the Stash, where you can win cool prizes from Normal.
U.S. Drug Czar John Walters doesn't believe anybody is in jail for marijuana possession.
The fact is today, people don't go to jail for possession of marijuana. Finding somebody in jail or prison for a first-time nonviolent offender for possession of marijuana is like finding a unicorn.
But the loveliest of them all was the unicorn.
Are you one of the Drug Czar's unicorns? Did you serve time for a first-time nonviolent marijuana possession charge? Tell us your story and you could win big. You can remain anonymous, and if we use your story on the podcast, you'll win a copy of the DVD Totally Baked, autographed by AC/DC's lead singer Brian Johnson, as well as excellent Normal swag like stickers and posters, and a steak dinner from Drug Czar John Walters. Steak dinner depends on whether the Drug Czar keeps his word, which isn't very likely.
We didn't arrest 800,000 marijuana users. That's the same lie I just talked to your colleague back there about.
Send us your email, I am a marijuana unicorn, to stash@normal.org today. Contest ends Friday, October 10th, 2008.
Don't you forget my unicorn.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 12 states today, and THCF has medical clinics in 6 of those states. Our physicians help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help them obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, Colorado, Nevada, Hawaii, and California. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at www.hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws is the largest grassroots drug law reform organization in America. So every Monday we visit with the activists in drug law reform who are fighting for our freedom. Get motivated to get it regulated. Join us in some political activism today. You can start by visiting norml.org.
Here at Normal, we've talked a lot about how the fight for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is really going to be a grassroots effort, starting at the state and county and even the local level. And one of the things you can do to help this fight is to look at the local level and find out whether your city has such a thing as initiative petitioning, and seeing if you can get what we call a lowest priority initiative passed in your city. We're speaking now with Ryan Denham from Sensible Fayetteville in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and they've done just that. And so, Ryan, welcome to the Daily Audio Stash.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Russ.
Well, first of all, let's explain to the folks that may not know what this whole lowest priority thing really means.
Well, essentially, it would make a misdemeanor amount of marijuana the lowest police and prosecutorial priority. So the idea is that if a police officer, you know, comes in contact with marijuana, that he would not arrest you, would not charge you for a small amount of marijuana. That would essentially make save tax dollars, police resources, and unclog the court and jail system.
So this doesn't, in actuality, you know, change the law in any way.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not going to, you know, decriminalize marijuana. And, you know, our intentions were to do that, but we're actually not a home rule state here in Arkansas, which means we can't cannot contradict state law on a local level.
Gotcha.
Like Columbia, Missouri did.
Right. So now there was quite a struggle here in getting this to the ballot in Fayetteville. You guys had how many signatures did you need, and what happened along the way?
Well, we needed 15% of the people who voted in the last mayoral election. So that was 2004, and so we actually needed 3,600 valid signatures, we tried to overshoot that by about 150%. So we turned in about 6,500 signatures. It was extremely difficult. You know, this is kind of a smaller town. There's about 67,000 people live in the city of Fayetteville. It is a college town also, but it was extremely, you know, time consuming.